The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Prepared for radio in 13 episodes by Brian Sibley. With Ian Holm, Michael Horden, Robert Stevens, and John LeMessurier. Episode 3, adapted by Brian Sibley and Michael Bakewell. The Knife in the Dark.
I have seen them, Frodo. I have seen them here in the village. The Black Riders.
Merry. What is it, Mr. Merry?
Are you all right?
Yes, but I've seen the Riders.
I found him, sir.
Go on, Nob.
Well, sir, Mr. Butterbur sent me out with a lantern. I thought I could see something in the road. It looked as if two men were stooping over something, lifting it.
Yes.
I gave a shout, but when I got up to the spot, there was no sign of them. Only Mr. Brandybuck. He seemed to be asleep. When I shook him, he said, I thought I had fallen into deep water.
I don't remember what I said. I went to pieces. I don't know what came over me.
I do. It was the black breath.
Who are you?
It's all right, Merry. This is Strider. He's a friend of Gandalf's. I will explain later.
Tell us what happened from the beginning.
Well, I stayed indoors for an hour. And then when the others didn't come back, I went out for a stroll. I was standing looking at the stars when suddenly I shivered and felt that something horrible was creeping near. There was a sort of deeper shade among the shadows across the road. It slid away at once into the dark without a sound. I followed it as far as the last house on the road.
You have a brave heart, but it was foolish.
No, it was neither brave nor foolish. I couldn't help myself. I seemed to be drawn somehow. Then something came behind me and I fell over.
Poor Mr. Merry.
What will happen now, Strider? Will they attack the inn?
No, I think not. But you must all stay here in the parlour, and you must not go to your rooms, for they are sure to have found out which those are. We will remain together and bar this window and the door. But first, Nob and I will tell old Butterbur what's happened and fetch your luggage from the other rooms.
Well, masters, we've ruffled up the bedclothes and put a bolster down the middle of each bed in case anyone comes meddling.
And I made a nice imitation of your head, Mr. Baggins.
Nob!
No, sir. Underhill, sir, with a brown woolen mat.
Thank you, Nob.
Well, that sounds most lifelike, but what will happen once they've penetrated the disguise?
We shall see. Let us hope to hold the fort till morning.
Don't you worry, Strider. We won't let them in if they come. Well, good night to you all. Come on, Nob.
Yes, Mr. Butterbur.
Good night to you both.
Good night.
And thank you.
Thank you.
That night, Frodo's sleep was troubled by dreams.
Ring. Scandal, kind of secret.
Is it morning already?
Yes, and we must be up and gone from here without delay.
Which way are we to go, Strider?
Well, we can hardly hope to leave Bree unnoticed, but I shall try to get us lost as soon as possible. And if we once shake off pursuit, I shall make for Weathertop.
Weathertop? Where, what's that?
It's a hill, just north of the road, about halfway from here to Rivendell. But now we must wake the others.
Yes. Yes, I feel very reluctant to leave, but I know that leave I must. Pippin, come on. Mary. Sam. Sam, time to get up.
Oh, no, I was having such an enjoyable dream. How about you and that absurd song of yours last night, The Cow Jumped Over the Moon, indeed. And right in the middle of my story. And then to go and disappear as well. How very ridiculous of you, Frodo.
Oh, I wish I'd been there to see it. The Worthies of Bree will be discussing it 100 years hence.
I hope so, Mary. I hope so.
Well, oh, never has such a thing happened in my time.
What's the matter, Barliman?
A raid on the pony. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
Mr. Butterbur, what's happened?
Oh, Mr. Underhill, you're in greater danger than you know. Someone broke into the inn last night.
I thought you said you and your folk would watch.
We did. I hardly closed my eyes all night, but I never heard a sound. But it's a good job you weren't in your beds. They forced the windows and they slashed the bolsters. And that there brown mat that Nob made to look like Mr. Underhill's head, begging your pardon, was torn to pieces. Oh.
We must be gone at once.
But you can't.
What do you mean? Why can't we?
They broke into the stable and took every pony and horse in the place.
Oh, this is terrible.
Well, anyway, ponies would not have helped us to escape horsemen. It is food and stores that trouble me. We cannot count on getting anything to eat between here and Rivendell. How much are you prepared to carry on your backs?
As much as we must.
Well, I can carry enough for two.
Well, can't anything be done, Mr. Butterbur?
No,
I mean, can't we get a couple of or even one for the baggage? I don't suppose we could hire them, but we might be able to buy them.
Well, I doubt it, but I'll do what I can. I'll route out Bob and send him round as soon as maybe.
Yes, you had better do that. I'm afraid that ends all hope of our starting early and slipping away quietly.
I'm afraid so. Oh, to think of it, a raid on the prancing pony.
After their breakfast, the hobbits had to repack and get together further supplies for the longer journey they were now expecting. It was close on 10 o'clock before they at last got off.
Come on. Oh, well, we've got your pony of sorts, Mr. Underhill. Well, he's a poor old half-starved creature.
Oh. How did you manage it?
Well, I'm afraid he belonged to Bill Fernie.
Who's Bill Fernie?
Oh, he's a bad man, Mr. Took, with an evil name in Breeland, and queer folk call at his house.
And what's worse, I think I saw him creep out of the inn last night after Mr. Underhill's accident. What?
Did he now? Then I guess that's how those black riders knew you were staying here and which rooms you were likely to be in.
Barliman's right. It was probably Fernie who sold them news of you. He would sell anything to anybody.
Yeah. No, he sold me his pony, and for 12 silver pennies, what's more, which is at least three times what it's worth.
12 pennies? Oh, I don't think I can afford
oh,
that.
Oh, Lord bless you, Mr. Underhill. I've paid for the pony, and I hope as Mr. Brandybuck will accept 18 pennies more as payment for his other ponies.
What? Oh, no, I couldn't, Mr. Butterbur. It's not your fault they were stolen.
Strider might not agree about that. But anyway, I insist. Oh. I promised Gandalf I'd do whatever I could for you, and so far I've done precious little to help.
And now we've delayed long enough. We must start at once. Sam, load up the pony.
Yes, Mr. Strider.
Well, thank you, Mr. Butterbur. Mm. I hope we shall meet again someday when things are merry once more. I should like nothing better than to stay in your house in peace for a while.
And I should like nothing better than to have you all.
If Gandalf comes, Barliman, tell him what's happened. And that we are heading for Weathertop.
Yes.
And then to Rivendell.
Yes, I will.
Well, make sure you do. And don't let one thing drive out another this time.
No, of course not. I'll remember all right.
Come on, you miserable old creature. Come on, old man.
This is where we leave the open road and take to cover.
Not a shortcut. Our last one nearly got us lost.
Ah, but you had not got Strider with you then. My cut short or long, don't go wrong.
Then why are we going the wrong way already?
Quite simply because Bill Fernie will have watched where we left the road for certain, though I don't think he will follow us himself. But it is what he may tell the others that I am afraid of. I don't suppose the riders are far away. We will double back soon enough, but if they think we've gone in this direction, so much the better.
The next day, they began to steer a steady course eastwards. All was quiet and peaceful. But on the third day out from Bree, they drew near the Midgewater marshes.
I don't like these marshes, Strider.
Nor do I, Sam. Even the rangers do not have a trail here, so we must be very careful not to lose our way. Much of Midgewater is little more than a shifting quagmire.
I'm being eaten alive. Oh, Midgewater. There are more midges than water.
What I want to know is, what do they live on when they can't get hobbits?
The next day, the fourth, was little better. But by the fifth day, they had left the straggling pools and reed beds of the marshes behind them. The land before them began steadily to rise. And away in the distance, eastward, they could see a line of hills. The highest of them had a conical top, slightly flattened at the summit.
That is where the top. We might reach it by noon tomorrow if we go straight towards it. I suppose we had better do so.
What do you mean?
I mean, when we do get there, it is not certain what we shall find.
Why? What do you fear?
There is, of course, a faint hope that we may meet with Gandalf there, but I'm afraid that if the riders don't find us in the wilderness, they are likely to make for Weathertop themselves.
Oh. Well, what do you advise us to do?
I think the best thing is to go straight eastward and make for the line of hills, not for Weathertop. That way we can come to Weathertop from the north and less openly. Then we shall see what we shall see.
But why haven't we seen anything of those riders if they're still after us?
They may not yet have had news of us. And not all the birds are to be trusted. And there are other spies more evil than they are.
You do make me feel uncomfortable and lonesome, Strider.
I'm sorry, Sam, but I fear there is little comfort for us at present.
Strider, did enemies make these paths to Weathertop?
No, this path was made to serve the watchtower of Amon Sul that once stood upon its top. It was burned and broken by a terrible enemy who is now but a servant of the enemy we face. Oh. It is told that Elendil stood there watching for the coming of Gil-galad out of the west.
When was that?
Long ago, in the days of the last alliance between men and elves.
And who was Gil-galad?